Thinking about joining us in Indianapolis for the Gospel Coalition's 2024 Women's Conference? The regular rate price of $239 goes up to $259 on May 8th. This is your final chance to save on your registration. Join us June 20th through the 22nd to feast together on the words of Jesus with keynote messages from Jen Wilkin, Melissa Kruger, David Platt, and more, and featuring worship music led by Shane and Shane. Sign up before the price increases on May 8th at tgcw24.org. Welcome back to TGC Q&A, a podcast from the Gospel Coalition, where each week you'll hear conversations between members of our council and friends who provide their unique perspective on your most pressing spiritual questions. On today's episode, Crawford Loritz and Jason Cook discuss the question, what does Paul mean by, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good? Let's listen in.
You know, when you read these injunctions in scriptures, sometimes, and this is where we don't always know what an author has in the back of his mind when he goes through this grocery list of things that he's trying to give to the people. And more often than not, we do know Paul is so logical in terms of how he writes that he tells us why he's saying what he's saying. But sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he says, look, he just clicks off, don't do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this. And when he says, repay no one, evil for the evil that they've done you, but give them good. I think we need to take that at face value. And I think that probably what he's talking about is, you know, goodness is core, is one of the core expressions of righteousness. And we're to exhibit the character of God who's long-suffering. And so we're not to be retaliating with people, because the moment we retaliate, interestingly enough, we trespass God's domain. God is, he's the judge. And so we don't we stay where we are. We're dependent on him, and we let him handle his business. He tells us, no, just return. You return the good for the evil. Now, the flip side of that coin, I don't think what he's talking about there is not confronting evil. He's not talking about not confronting evil. He's not talking about being silent when evil is committed. But I think he does not want us to be complicit with evil. Don't have the same wrong motivations they have, and respond godly when they come after you. But he doesn't mean that you don't speak up and tell the truth. The Old Testament example of Daniel defended the truth without being personally defensive. So in that sense, he consistently did good while speaking out against injustice. So, you know, these things that you got to be careful of a one-dimensional application of them. Because it's not to be read as if this is a denial of what is right or wrong, and you just got to kiss up and do whatever anybody tells you to do, and it's evil. No, we need to point out it's wrong, but I'm not to respond in kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I completely agree, yes and amen, all of that. I also think it's interesting that the political and cultural and really the sociocultural backdrop Paul writes against with the Roman government is such that it's a government that's in stark contradistinction to the things of God, is the antithesis in some ways of the Christian ethic.
Yep.
So to legitimize their gospel message, to legitimize the truth of what it means to be a Christian, is to not repay evil with evil.
That's right.
But to speak truth to that evil. But we don't respond in kind.
You are. I think we need to go there on this one.
Come on.
I think many believers who have discovered social issues and the political sides of things, we have to be very careful that we don't become shrill. That in our engagement of these issues, in the name of being culture warriors, that we don't become nasty. And unfortunately, we've all seen that somehow or another we have forgotten the Christ-like character. There's never a time, ever a time where it's permissible not to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit, ever, ever. And so when we get in these conversations, we have to remember that it's not my opinion only that I'm representing. It's Christ-like character that I need to be projecting.
Amen.
And that's got to be real. And so how we handle these issues is very, very important.
It's in outrage culture when everything is a big deal, and we're kind of running from one dumpster fire to the next.
Yeah.
And everything is personal.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me that Christians who want to be on the right side of history and the right side of justice, rightfully so, can also unwittingly do the very thing that injustice does. So sin ultimately in the garden in Genesis 3 dehumanizes man, right? So to be fully and totally human is to be like Christ, to be found in Jesus. So for sin to exist is itself dehumanizing. When we malign and when we are unjustly angry in some ways, and we respond to evil in unkind ways, or we respond to evil in kind, we actually dehumanize in the same way sin does.
Yeah.
And I think what Paul is getting at is that there is a legitimacy to what you believe. This doesn't mean that you don't speak truth to power. This doesn't mean that you don't exhibit righteous anger. This doesn't mean that you cry tears of lament. This does not mean that you maybe even sacrifice some things in your life to fight for true justice and freedom. It just means as you're fighting, be like the Lord Jesus, who meek like a lamb being led to the slaughter, did not open his mouth.
And I don't ever want to come across or be misunderstood. I don't ever want people to think that I hate you because I disagree passionately with what you stand for. And that's, again, where Christ-like character has to eclipse the conversation, has to eclipse the issue, that we can love them. We're not going to walk away from them, not going to abandon them, but we're not going to call them names. We're not going to defile the image of God in them. And because I disagree with you does not mean that I have to show hate in any way or marginalize you in any way whatsoever. And I think Christians have allowed their favorite political party to write the script for their behavior. And we've got to be careful about that. And we live from the borders of another world.
Mm-hmm.
And we represent another kingdom. And that kingdom manifesto, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, that kingdom manifesto needs to be seen in how I treat people. And so I think goodness has to do with comprehensive godliness.
Yeah. I find that rather than living in the tension of a fallen world and the injustice in the spiritual warfare of the world, Satan, and the sin within myself, that within the sphere of all of that, some Christians would run to malign and dehumanize anything that doesn't corroborate with their worldview. Christians who should be fighting for the same. Christians who believe in the death, burial, resurrection, and the finished work, believe in the finished work of Christ Jesus, would be diametrically opposed to someone because they disagree. And I think on that title, goodness, do not call evil what I have deemed good, right? And what it means to fight for the well-being of one another out of the goodness of the cross and the goodness of Christ and how that compels our ethic in how we live before one another.
Yeah, and you know, I think it was Abdu Murray that works with Ravi Zacharias that made this observation, and that is, you know, when you're in a debate with someone, the way to keep the heat down is don't answer the question, answer the person.
Wow.
And you maintain their dignity as you disagree with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what God means about the intersection between goodness, righteousness, justice, disagreement, all these things.
That's good.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of TGC Q&A. To submit a question that you would like to hear answered on this podcast, send us an email at ask@tgc.org. And remember to subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening to today's episode of TGC Q&A.